What's up, guys? Not long ago, we entered the school volleyball contest. During the few weeks of practicing, we played with some other classes and realized we might just have a chance of winning. One Friday after school, we stayed to practice, and we won 10 games in a row, which was a surprise to all of us, and it probably would have been more if we weren't all tired and decided to go home and rest. One of the classes even lost to us 4 times that afternoon. We got a lot more confident after that. Our teacher was quite supportive and sometimes even allowed us to practice during her class. We won most of the other rounds, and the class that lost to us 4 times a day didn't give up either. I found them quite inspiring, actually. They lost to us about 10 other times after that day, but they still supported us when the actual games began and always stood on our side to cheer for us. There was one class that we couldn't beat, 802. They were great athletes, and we were absolutely sure that we could meet in the final round, but to our surprise, they got eliminated in the first round. We were super nervous, since that meant there were better classes than them. Sure enough, we got into the final round and we were up against the class that got 802 eliminated, which was 810. It felt really good when we beat them and got the first place in the girls' volleyball game. Dumbarton by Ginger Juan. Chapter 7. Soft music was playing, as if wrapping me in a tender, warm embrace of the blanket made with the most gentle cotton candy. I smelled the sweet aroma of green tea and fresh baked cookies. My eyes slowly opened. I was lying in the tent, which they called the substitute of the nurse's office. Carolina was sitting next to me, her back to me. Her blonde hair was a mess, and I guessed that she had just woken up too. Some teachers outside were having a nice little picnic party with calm music, biscuits, and beverages. Nobody, not even the school nurse, seemed to care much about our injuries from the accident last night. Carolina didn't notice that I had woken up. "We're pretty lucky that the carpenter bees didn't get to us, huh?" I started with a chuckle. Then she turned around. The red bumps on her pale face looked as if she had been attacked by wolves. Her cheeks were puffy and swollen. There were cuts on her chin and forehead. I assumed the sharp tree branches wounded her when we were running through the woods. I was a little stunned to see her in such a bad shape, since I myself wasn't really hurt that much. There were only little scratches on my cheeks and dried blood on my back, on the back of my hand earlier before the accident happened. "Why weren't you attacked by those hideous creatures?" she moaned, seeing me very much fine. Her voice was even scratchier than yesterday. My mind went blank as I could not make up a reasonable explanation. Carolina stroked her left arm, examining the gashes and bruises. "I feel like those carpenter bees stung me in every single spot possible." Before I could reply, the school nurse poked her head inside the tent. She put bandages on Carolina's wounds and treated her stings. I waited for them to be done, then Carolina and I joined the others in the camping area. They were already tucking the tents away. I couldn't believe we missed half a day of the camping trip that was supposed to be epic. So we helped put the tents away, did a final check of the luggage, and settled in the bus along with the others. I said goodbye to Carolina and walked the rest of the way home. I felt a little hollow inside, knowing the most fun part about being in middle school had come to an end. The villa hiding behind the tall trees finally came into view, and I pushed the front gate open. Home sweet home. I was exhausted from the trip and was glad that I could finally take a good rest. I went across the garden and up the doorsteps. Since I did not bring the keys with me, I rang the doorbell and waited for George to answer. I pressed it once. No answer. I pressed it again. Still nothing. George, I called. Who is it? He finally answered after a while. It's me, Avery, I said a little impatiently. Remember? I'm your adoptive daughter and I've come back from my camping trip. Just a second. There was a clanging sound and something smashed against the floor. Then there was some whispering. For a second I wanted to kick the door open and see what was going on, but before I could do that, George opened the door. He saw me looking at him the way I would look at a maniac, and he cleared his throat. I was kind of in the middle of something. I thought you would be back a lot later. I didn't reply. This was my home. I should be able to come home whenever I wanted. George motioned for me to come inside. He took my luggage and set them on the floor. Avery, I have big news for you, he said, a gleeful smile on his face. This is your future stepmother, Penelope Anton. A woman in a fancy dress came out from the kitchen. She gave a friendly smile and a small wave. My mouth dropped open. My limbs went numb. A stepmother? The smile on Penelope's face seemed to be frozen, and I was pretty sure she was just smiling to make me think she was amiable. It was somewhat unnatural, and she seemed uncomfortable with it. And also, here are your future stepbrother and stepsisters, said George, seeing that I had no reaction. Oliver, Olivia, and Orly. Penelope motioned for her children to come out. Three children, also in fancy clothing, walked out from the kitchen as well. My mind was whirring and couldn't process all the information. I was more than just numb now. I felt like I was going to faint a second time that day. Isn't my life full of surprises? I muttered under my breath. Oliver's blonde hair was combed neatly to the left, and a great amount of hair gel was applied to his head. Olivia's hair was long and pulled into pigtails with blue ribbons. Orly had much shorter hair, but it still reached down to her shoulders and it was wavy. She and Olivia were in pink dresses. All three of them were dressed neatly. Compared to them, I felt like a hobo while they were kings and queens. Finally, especially when I still had dried blood all over my hands. George cleared his throat again. Penelope and I met a little after I adopted you, and we had been getting along great. I proposed to her just yesterday when you were out on the camping trip, and we are getting married in 1 to 2 weeks. They used to live in England, but now they've decided to come live here with us, he explained. I stared blankly at him and Penelope. Well, say something. I shook my head, hesitating. I guess these days my life has been so unpredictable, it's not anything that big to me anymore, even if it is big. Olivia made a face at me. You're a weird one, all right. That's the weirdest thing I've ever heard, Orly chimed in, blinking twice. For some reason, she had been blinking nonstop since I got home. I gave her a dirty look. George nodded his head slowly as a reply for the awkward moment. Anyway, we were thinking maybe Olivia and Orly can share the spare room next to mine, and Oliver can have the guest room and make it his own, he suggested. Is that okay with you, Avery? I was a little surprised to hear that they were moving in so quickly, and that meant I had to share my home with complete strangers for the rest of my life. But I nodded and agreed anyway, because George couldn't possibly take no for an answer. He smiled at me, showing his appreciation, then took the entrance to the second floor. I ran up the stairs to the attic and slammed the door behind me. My mind still couldn't really process it all, but I decided to put it behind me and do something I was actually interested in doing for now. I wrote, "Busy, do not disturb," on a sticky note and stuck it on the other side of the door so George and the Antons could see. Then I unpacked my bags and found the heavy book buried at the bottom. The Ancient and Untold Tales of the Enmity. and carried the book to my bed and flipped to the first page. Some of you might know the word enmity as the state or feeling of being actively opposed or hostile to someone or something. But this is not the definition you're looking for. The one you ought to be looking for is much more terrifying. Reading the book made me wonder why George had it in the first place. Did he know I was an alien before he adopted me? Was he an alien? Questions piled up in my head. I was overwhelmed and very confused. Planet Dumbarton is ruled by a king and a queen, along with their 7 sons and daughter, Princess Henry I to the 7th, and Princess Paige. The royal family spent some wonderful years together, but shortly afterwards, the eldest prince and the princess were banished by their own parents after they murdered a very important person. But again, the prince and princesses were only young children then. So this leads to the question, what really happened? I was so wrapped up in the book that I didn't even realize the sun had sunk down over the horizon and the sky had turned to dark navy blue. George and the Entons had probably already gone to bed, since I didn't hear them outside. So I crept downstairs, out of the house, and dashed towards the Orange Star Orphanage. Monica was already sitting on the rooftop waiting for me. She had already developed the skill to climb up the roof without my help. I caught my breath and sat down next to her. It was the perfect time to tell my best friend about the huge changes in my life. "George is getting married," I blurted out a little too suddenly. "He proposed to this Penelope Anton lady just yesterday while I was out on the camping trip, and they're officially getting married in 2 weeks. Can you believe it? My life just keeps getting on more and more complicated." "Whoa, slow down," Monica said. She closed her eyes and took a moment to take in the information. "So that means you're getting a stepmother?" I nodded. "And a stepbrother and 2 stepsisters. They don't seem to be all that friendly, though. All I know about them is that they think I'm somehow weird. In fact, I'm the weirdest person that they've ever met," they said of themselves. Monica raised an eyebrow. "I think you're just the right amount of weird," I sighed deeply. "Apparently, they don't think that way." "It sounds like you're not exactly loving your new family," she deduced, sounding very much like a therapist. "At least you have one, though." I bit my lower lip, thinking hard. "I probably just need some time to adjust. After all, they're complete strangers to me, and the thought of having to live with them for the rest of my childhood is just scary." Monica smiled and took my hand. "It'll get better." We gazed at the stars. "You know, life here has really changed without you. I'm just glad that you get to enjoy the life that you deserve." "I hope you'll find a nice family soon too," I said. "That way we could enjoy our lives together." I suddenly realized I never told Monica about me being an alien. I never told my best friend about the biggest change in my life. She knew so much about Dumbartons, so maybe she could help me. But again, George said those stories were fake, and he especially told me not to tell anyone about my true identity. Perhaps this wasn't the right time. I really needed my best friend to help me get through the toughest times in my life, though. It was the next day. I didn't bother changing out of my pajamas since it was Saturday, forgetting the fact that the Antons were living in my house. The sound of eggs and bacon sizzling in the pan made me very hungry. George must have been making breakfast in the kitchen with Penelope. Oliver, Olivia, and Orly were sitting in the family room playing chess when I walked in, which I found very peculiar since I'd never met anyone who played chess at 8 in the morning. In fact, I didn't even know we had a chess set. Oliver was white and his sisters were black. They saw me staring at them. "We don't mind if you join," Oliver said, moving his knight. His strong British accent was pronounced clearly. Olivia and Orly muttered something under their breaths. He gave them a dirty look, whispering through gritted teeth, "Mother said we ought to be polite." Olivia rolled her eyes. Fine, I guess it won't do any harm. You can join Oliver's team, Olivia, Orly said unpleasantly. She obviously didn't want me playing with them. I sat down on the dark gray beanbag next to Oliver, sinking down into it, and examined the chess set. Oliver was winning by quite a lot. I moved a white bishop and checked them. Orly ate my bishop and fiddled with it in her pale hands. Dumb move, she said in a sing-songy tone. Oliver ate her queen and placed it beside the chessboard along with the other pieces. Sorry about Olivia and Orly, he said quietly so his sisters wouldn't hear. Sometimes they just cannot accept change, and we both should know that this thing going on here is a big change. I nodded, appreciating his genuineness. I understand. George and Penelope entered the room. They smiled as they saw us all together in the family room, having a good time together. Look at you, getting along so well, Penelope said in a high-pitched voice that you only use when speaking to your pets. She came over and nudged my face, though I had only met her yesterday. There's no doubt that by the time George and I get married in a couple of weeks and we officially become one big family, you will not only be siblings to each other, but also best friends. I forced a smile, despite the fact that the thought of being best friends with the aunt and children made me want to puke. Olivia and Orly didn't hide it very well, though. They had disgusted looks on their faces, which not only expressed their disgusted feelings, but were truly disgusting themselves. We all went downstairs to the dining room and had to have breakfast. British dishes such as fish and chips, bangers and mash, and Yorkshire pudding lay on the table, just begging to be eaten. Penelope really had a great influence on George. I sat down at the seat as far away from Olivia and Orly as possible, with Oliver on my left and George and Penelope across from me. Oliver seemed to be alright. At least he didn't dislike me like his sisters did. I tasted the pudding. It was delicious. Penelope was a great chef. As we enjoyed our breakfasts, George and Penelope had a conversation about the upcoming wedding. They said there were going to be gorgeous balloon arches, a massive amount of delectable cuisine, sumptuous chandeliers, and everything you could think of. After all, George was a billionaire, and Penelope seemed to be wealthy as well. Olivia corrected the way I used my napkin, which I didn't think was a big deal, but since I was going to be a part of a family who thought it was important, I learned the correct way of using it. I helped put the dishes away and clean them, and after we were done, George suggested we went out together and enjoy the fresh air. Let's go into the mountains. The fight inside is good for your health, he proposed. Olivia shook her head. Gross. I hadn't been out in the mountains since I was 3. That's how you keep this beautiful skin color how it is, she said. Plus, the dirt and bugs and everything, we can't take it. We'd much rather stay in this nice large villa of a home. Olivia and I could try on Avery's clothes and do each other's hair, Orly said. I couldn't decide who was more snobby and irritating, Olivia, Orly, or Jessica. Penelope exchanged looks with George. I try my best to give my children what they want, she said. My darlings are strong and brave and rather stubborn. Arguing with them isn't any good. I snickered. Strong and brave? Those wouldn't be the words I would use to describe Olivia and Orly. They couldn't even handle dirt and bugs. George nodded reluctantly. I guess we'll do this another time then. Olivia and Orly went to their rooms to do each other's hair and nails. I wasn't sure if they really were going to try on my clothes, but I really didn't care for them. George and Penelope went outside to the gazebo George built to have some tea. I was going to go upstairs to my room and study more about the Dumbartons when Oliver called me to George's study. We need to talk, he said. He motioned for me to follow him, and I joined him in the study. He quickly scanned the rows and rows of books on the bookshelf, muttering under his breath. "What are you looking for?" I asked. "Just a certain book that we need to discuss," he answered, still searching. "It must be here somewhere." I thought it was strange how he knew which certain book was in George's study. "You just arrived here yesterday. Why don't I help you look? Just tell me the title of the book." Oliver turned to face me. His blue eyes burned into mine. "The Ancient and Untold Tales of the Enmity." My heart was racing so fast I almost could not breathe. My face flooded with bewilderment. But why are you looking for that book?" I blubbered. He stood erect and took a step forward. "Because I know." His words baffled me. I didn't know what to say. Oliver leaned closer and whispered, "Because I am the same." I bit my lower lip, having no idea what he meant. His words echoed in my head. "Because I am the same?" What exactly did he know? I took a deep breath and tried making myself look as innocent as possible. Oliver couldn't have possibly found out that I was an alien in so little time with hardly any clues. "What do you mean?" I asked again. "I do not understand." Oliver rolled his eyes. "Avery, you know exactly what I mean. We're Dumbartons." I raised an eyebrow. "We? You're a Dumbarton too?" He nodded his head. "Not only are we Dumbartons, but we need to go back to our home planet. They need us there." I snickered. "Why? If we're here on Earth, that means we were banished by our leaders. That means we did something bad there and we're criminals, even if we don't remember anything." "They don't need criminals there with them." Oliver frowned. "You don't know?" I frowned too. "Know what?" He sighed and made sure nobody was listening. "I'm Prince Henry," he whispered in a voice so small I could barely hear while pointing at himself. "And you, Avery, are Princess Paige." My heart practically stopped beating. I wondered if I could really trust Oliver. After all, his sisters were both highly despicable, and there was no saying if he was a liar or not. He was raised in the same environment as them and by the same person. "How can you prove that you're telling the truth?" I asked, sitting down in George's chair. Oliver looked a bit surprised. "You don't believe me?" I hesitated, not wanting him to think I was a hard-to-please person, but shook my head eventually. He looked hurt. "How could you not believe me? We're siblings. We're family." "Yeah, we're step-siblings on Earth, but on another planet too? I'm not so sure about that." How do I know you're not lying or making up stories? Or maybe you're a spy?" I gestured my hands around to make a point. "Alright, maybe I over-exaggerated a little." "I'm not that gullible, Oliver. We've only met yesterday and all of a sudden your mother is marrying my adoptive father and you're becoming my stepbrother. This is just too much to take in all at once. And let's face it, we're basically strangers to each other. You can't expect me to trust a stranger because trust is something you'd need to earn." I stood up and started out of George's study, but Oliver stopped me. "There's something you're missing here," he said. "If I'm not your brother, if I'm not an alien like you, how would I know about this? How would I know you're a Dumbarton, and why would I lie about it?" "There's something urgent, Avery, I'm telling you. Our parents need us." I raised my hand to silence him. "I need some time to think about it, and until then, please just leave me alone." After going back to my room in the attic, I realized perhaps I was being rude and rather unreasonable, stubborn even. I judged Oliver by his family instead of himself and didn't even stop to see things from his perspective. Placing some coal into the fireplace and letting it burn, I settled into the fuzzy chair next to it and watched the fire burn. Red flames leaping from the black coal, turning it into ash. then disappearing into sparks of yellow and orange embers. I was wrapped up in the warmth of the fire, which made me feel a lot better, and I eased up a bit. After roughly a half an hour of staring blankly at the fire until my eyes hurt, there was a knock on the door. George walked inside. "Are you okay?" he asked, closing the door gently behind him. I looked up at him. "Not really. I just learned some life-changing news from Oliver, and I'm not sure if it's a good thing or not. I just don't know if I can trust him after so little time." George really was a good father. At least he was a good one for an awfully abnormal alien. Instead of asking me what the situation was, he gave me some good advice and forced me to learn to handle the problem myself. "I don't blame you for not trusting someone you'd only met, even if he is someone you'd be very close to in the near future," he said, sitting down on my bed. "You know, I had a hard time trusting Penelope at first. One of the reasons was because I didn't want to replace my wife who passed away some time ago. She was a marvelous woman, really." He fiddled around in his coat and pulled out a pocket watch. It was golden and adorned with tiny pieces of jewelry. He flipped it open. There was a picture of a young woman joyfully smiling inside. The hands of the watch were also made of gold, and the numbers which told the time were very fancy. The woman in the picture had round brown eyes and a straight nose. Her hair was also brown and highlighted with a bit of lighter colors. "She was brave. She was fierce and formidable," George said, staring at the picture. "I used to think I would never be able to get over her death and be stuck in that deep, dark, narrow pit until the world ended. But then I found someone to commit to. Someone I will always stand by no matter what. The Kellers told me that there was a very special girl in need of my care, and I jumped at the chance of rebuilding my life. Turns out, after the restoration, my life became even better than it was before." He took my hand. "Whichever path you choose, whether you choose to trust Oliver or not, I will stand by your side." I smiled. This was my decision to make. George knelt down beside me and whispered, "Trust your gut." Nodding, I watched George close the pocket watch, tuck it in his coat, and walk out of the room. I went over to my bookshelf and pulled out the Ancient and Untold Tales of the Enmity, which was on the top shelf, and once again sat down next to the fireplace to read. I reread the part about Prince Henry and Princess Paige, a part of me hoping I could somehow find some answers in there. Suddenly, the door swung open and Oliver's head popped out. I was alarmed and stood up very abruptly, the suddenness almost making me drop the book into the fireplace. Almost. I caught the heavy book just in time and hid it behind my back. My legs were shaking and I couldn't calm down from the scare. Oliver seemed to be surprised by my unexpected actions. "Was that the Ancient and Untold Tales of the Enmity?" he asked, pointing at the book and looking behind me. I dodged away, avoiding his glances. "I don't know what you're talking about." Oliver ripped the book out of my hands and he had surprising strength, which I guess proved that he was also a Dumbarton. "I'm not that gullible either." He opened the book and flipped to the page about the prince and princess. "Remember, Avery? Don't you remember mother and father?" He showed me a photo of a large royal family of 11. In the back was an extremely old woman with white hair streaked with gray. On the sides were 8 little children, a girl and 7 boys, who I assumed were Prince Henry first to the 7th and Princess Paige. In the middle were the man and woman with crowns on their heads, the king and queen. An image of the royal family flashed in my mind. Was it a memory of mine, or was it something else? But if it wasn't my memory, what else could it be? Oliver saw my blank expression. "By the way, I thought of a way to prove to you that we're siblings from another planet. At least, I can prove that I am also an alien, he said, and walked over to my bed. He placed his hands under it, and with a grunt, he lifted the bed up along with me on it. I yelped in surprise. His strength was incredible. Nevertheless, that wasn't his only superpower. Oliver picked up a burning hot coal right from the fireplace with his bare hands, shook it a couple of times to put out the fire, wrapped his hands around it, and crushed it with all his might. When he opened his fist, sitting on his palm was a clear, shiny diamond. My mouth dropped open and an amazed exclaim escaped my throat. "You can do that?" I uttered, not able to take my eyes off the diamond. "We can do it," he corrected, "just with a little bit of training and practice, perhaps involving just a little bit of scientific background. Under great pressure, coal turns into diamond." He set the diamond down on my desk. I thought for a moment and stood up from my bed. The ancient and untold tales of the enmity lay on the desk next to the shimmering diamond, and I walked toward it, picked it up, and examined it. I turned my gaze on Oliver. "Now I believe you," I said reassuringly. His face brightened up and he put on a pleased smile. "Good. Now we have a lot to do. Our parents need us badly and we have to be there for them." I tilted my head in confusion. "What do you mean?" Oliver patted me on the shoulder. It hurt quite a bit. I guess he didn't realize his own strength. "That's right, Avery," he said. "We're traveling back to our home planet."